This session is from the 2021 Shepherd's 360 International Church Leaders Conference. For more information, visit shepherds360.org.
Steve.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and I'll get started.
Thanks, John.
And yeah. Feel free, if you don't think it's supplies, you don't have to stay the whole time. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Okay, well, thanks. I appreciate it. I didn't know if it was actually just thinking about how to use technology in the church setting.
Like it is.
With all the social media, I'm not a pastor at a church.
Yep.
I want to be involved in one somewhere. And so I'm not at the point of training other leaders, you know
sure.
what I mean? Yeah.
But this would be good, you know, take one of the flyers back, send it, you know, to whoever's leading in your church. Maybe
uh-huh.
it applies.
Okay.
So, but I have been, actually, you'll see the name Servant Keeper. I've been with Servant Keeper for 8 years, and they do church management software. So keeping up with
oh, they do?
People, contributions. But last year, they became a part of Faith Life, which is, you know, makes Logos Bible software.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So Faith Life's mission is to use technology to equip the church to grow in the light of the Bible. And I can relate, as I said, I'm an assistant pastor, so there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of benefits of ministry, as I've been a bivocational pastor, assistant pastor, for about 9 years.
Okay.
And, you know, it's been a long year and a half. I don't know if your church felt that with COVID.
Yeah, sure. We, like I say, we just started fellowshipping, coming here in May. Like, I hesitate to use the word fellowship because it's so large.
Sure.
You got to make relationships for fellowship.
Right,
know?
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, the church in Raleigh, the Northridge Bible Chapel, felt that. But fortunately, they have techie people, and they moved right to Zoom.
That's
and
great.
And started Zooming, you know, so, but yeah.
That's great. Well, it's been a long year. What I want to... One of the good things that's going to come out of it, I think, is the church's adoption of technology. And, you know, we can talk about online giving, live streaming, communication, you know. But one of the biggest areas I think a church needs to grow in is this idea of digital discipleship. So it's not just, it's so important. It's not going to replace being in person. But, you know, this day and age, things have changed, the way people think, the way people connect. And so we want to be able to provide resources as an online community, so social media. So we're going to look at that a little bit. Communications, access to sermons. And today I kind of want to hone on like a subcategory where we talk about empowering church leaders is what I want to cover. And I know there's a lot of dangers, countless negatives with technology, you know, that's brought to our culture. But there's many reasons why the church should grow in this area. So I want to talk about the why. So why we might want to use technology to organize our leaders, interact with them. And then for practical purposes, I'm going to talk about the how. So you'll kind of get a behind the scenes of what a church could be doing and using technology to make their life a little easier. And as we discuss the how, I will intersperse a couple practical demonstrations using software tools. But I do want to, I like to lay the question, you know, lay the foundation, why is this important? So first off, why do we even develop leaders in the church? And since I am an assistant pastor, I work for Logos, we're going to start with the Bible. That seems to make sense. So Ephesians 4 says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And what I love about this, I mean, it's an amazing picture of the body of Christ, and the Bible shows us that there are leaders. You know, there's different positions here. So Paul says there's apostles, there's prophets, evangelists. These are all different roles that we play in the body of Christ. And the purpose of these leaders is to build up the body of Christ. And we see, you know, there's a unification of faith. in knowledge. There's a growing up in the maturity of the faith. And so this idea of equipping the saints and spurring them on is the discipling part. You know, it's the empowering part. It's the training them to have tools and skills to go out and make more disciples. So the foundational answer to the question, you know, why do we even develop leaders in the church, is ultimately because God tells us to, so that the church can grow. And when it comes to this, you know, we as pastors and leaders must have on the forefront of our mind that our discipling and training is for the universal church. You know, I think we kind of get stuck in the localized, and we're going to talk about that, but we don't want to keep our eyes just focused solely on our small circle of our church, but it's important that we raise leaders up to go out and make disciples wherever they go. So that's the big picture why. You know, God tells us to, so that the church can grow. But then there's smaller answers to the question of why. And once we understand the big picture why, then we understand and hone in on the more localized, like our own personal church, reason why. And these are the practical reasons. So one of the practical reasons, again, just kind of giving you some practical things here, we can't do it all. So pastors, leaders, they can't do it all, and nor should they. Now, I think it's Tom Rainer, he says that we can't foster the mentality of the country club mentality for church members, where they pay their tithe, they sit back, and they expect the church to basically, you know, provide programs and services. They think it's the job of church staff to provide them with all this stuff just because they pay their tithe. So it's not biblical, and it's not practical. And so another reason that we raise leaders is because all church members are called to serve. So we see an example of this in Acts chapter 6. If you remember, you know, when leaders go out and they assign tasks to other leaders, you know, they're up and coming, they're training them, and they say, go out and take care of the congregation. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Sure.
Where they could devote themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Mm-hmm. So there's this example of a leader that's empowering other leaders coming up to go do different things. So it's a picture of the body working together. And if only the pastors and staff are doing this, they can't possibly reach everybody, they can't study, they can't disciple as they should. It's not sustainable or practical. An interesting stat, you know, 95% of churches in the U.S. are fewer than 500 people, and 44% of churches have one or fewer staff. So 44% of churches, which is probably about 125,000 churches in the U.S., have less than one staff, one or fewer staff. So once we begin to develop leaders with this understanding, okay, there's some byproducts of this intentional discipleship. And one of them is that pastors are going to have more time to do more things, more time to be focused, more time to study, more time to disciple. Really importantly, more time for self-care, family. So we're going to raise leaders up with this idea that we can delegate some things that are not on our plate anymore. Secondly, leaders are going to go out and raise up other leaders. And I have a real heart for this because in my church, our pastor kind of took me under his wing. He takes a few other people under his wing and disciples them, with the idea that possibly someday the next pastor will come from within our own church. Mm-hmm. Instead of candidating and trying to find somebody to come in, a total stranger, I think it would be a great model where churches are raising their own pastors up from within the church.
Yeah.
And the third thing is that responsibility creates stickiness for members. And kind of a weird concept, but the idea here is that we find that people that serve in the church are more apt to stay in that church. And really, it's because they feel like they belong to something. And the other big thing is, of course, they are fulfilling their calling. And so it's really important that as we raise leaders up, you know, we see that these are some things that are going to happen. So why is technology so important? Okay, why this day and age is this so important? And really, you know, for me, it boils down to time, efficiency, and culture. And what I mean by this, I'm going to explain here. We at Faith Life, we talk about in a church, there's really four practical and key areas that we have to participate in when it comes to leading a church body. So organizing, connecting, equipping, and engaging. These are four things that happen And they could, these would have been done probably 200 years ago, but they were done in a different way. So organizing, you know, when we talk about that, organizing information about people, families, resources, so, you know, birthdays, general information, contact information, who the volunteers are. So we want to be able to track those things. We want to be able to connect with people in the church. And again, this could be in person, but technology can help us do a little bit more. Equipping the church to grow in the light of the Bible. This is Faith Life's real vision here. Because what they're doing is they're taking these things here and they have launched the integrated ministry platform. And so what this means is that in one ecosystem, instead of having all these disconnected tools, your website, your presentation software, your Bible study software, sermons, live streaming, all of that is in Faith Life Equip.
That's cool.
In one integrated platform. So I'm going to show a couple things a little bit later what that looks like. And all of them talk together. The calendar, resource scheduling, donor management, online giving, child check-in, I mean, the list goes on and on. So the important thing, you know, as we think about technology, I think we have to think of it as a method. You see that okay?
I just went to the different names there, media giving, logo.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, we've got logos, proclaim, presentation software, and you can take this, you might even have it already, but take that if
okay.
you want, get back to your pastor. But these four things, you know, these were done so differently so long ago. You know, think about the methods of organizing data 200 years ago, 100 years ago, even 15 years ago. And I think when we approach technology, we need to think of it as the method of accomplishing these things. So technology and the culture's adoption of it. So over 2,000 years ago, you had the Roman road. You know, that helped. That's technology. Paul could travel. He could do missions trips, send letters. We have cars now. We can go visit members more frequently. We have phones, texting, emailing, TV, internet. And so technology has grown and our culture has adopted it. And the methods by which we do these things have changed. So the important thing when we approach technology is this. We can't approach it as something to be feared, but embraced because it's a method. As long as our reasons and our message is aligned with God's truth. And so there's a danger of using technology for the wrong reasons, but there's still that same danger if we are printing a book, or if we're writing something down on paper, or we're sending a telegram. The message has not changed, only the method. So what I want to do now is I want to talk about these four things, and I want to talk, you know, some of this organizing. So how do we do this? How do we find potential leaders in the church? We need to keep up with things like who they are, what they're good at, skills and talents, where they're serving, roles that they want to grow in, where they're coming from, maybe even their background, a biography. So in all of this, this process, you need a way to organize this stuff. Otherwise, leaders are going to go crazy. And so pastors need more than like the napkin from the diner where they meet for breakfast and they write their notes down. You know, I always joke, I can get to New York City in a car or I can walk. Those are two different methods and I get there, but one's a lot more painful and the other one's a lot faster and more efficient.
Sure.
So what in this stage, you know, it's a good idea, first off, I think for pastors and leaders to keep an eye out, even yourself. I look for people who are already volunteering in certain areas of the church ministry. They're naturally serving already. These are people that have the heart for this. Maybe you see someone that has a heart where they are taking other people under their wing, discipling them within the church. You know, don't just let them fly solo. Get with them and bring them in and say, you know, do you need anything? Can we meet? Can we talk about this? See if they're interested in serving in a more formal leadership role. And then, of course, there's things, you know, people on the wings who are less likely to take action unless they're asked. So another idea is to do a survey, interview members of the church, you know, and just talk with them. Maybe if it's a bigger church, you know, how big your church?
So we've started coming here in May.
Okay.
2000.
Okay.
The church we were part of for those 17 years or whatever it's been, about 250.
Okay, great. Yep. So it's a good idea, you know, that you're finding out what their skills and talents are, what their interest areas are. And also, maybe on your questionnaire or as you're talking, find out if they have experience at a previous church. Because you can learn a lot from other people. You know, they might have gotten out of it because they were burned out. Maybe they're just waiting to be asked. Maybe they're taking a break. So there's nothing wrong with learning from others. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And as you're doing this, though, it's very important that we don't just stick any warm body in the role. And so in this stage, we want to look out for some key characteristics. So we want, well, it doesn't mean you can't ever put somebody in leadership that doesn't, that they're not going to grow. Like, we don't just assume people aren't going to grow if they don't meet these characteristics. But there's been a lot of damage done in churches when people that are not right get into a certain role. And I speak from experience on the first one. First, they need to be humble and teachable. Some people who love to serve are not teachable. There's a place for them in church and leadership, but leadership is not a good place. If they're not teachable, you'll never be able to work with them. It'll always be their way or the highway. Second, you want to make sure they have a similar vision as the church. And this is really important. I think, especially in a smaller church, if you get 200 or less, it's easy for pastors to just be so happy that you find somebody that's going to do something, that you just plug them into the role because you're tired and you want to do this. But if they don't have a similar vision, they don't understand your goal, then you're constantly going to be, nobody's going to go anywhere. Everybody's pulling on different ends of the rope. So make sure they have a similar vision. Another one is make sure they have good character. So a person of good character will not waver in who they are. So there's those that, you know, they come to church, they're very talented, they seem so happy and joyful on Sunday, but the moment they're in charge of people or in leadership, they have a chip on their shoulder. And so they treat everybody differently. And so people like this tend to tear things down. Fourth, along the similar lines, you know, make sure that your leaders can work with people. We want to make sure they can work with others. Make sure there's a chemistry. It doesn't mean they don't have to always agree. If they always agree, that's probably a sign that they there's other problems. But if they have good character and they've got the other first three characteristics, if they do disagree, they can work it out. If they're humble and teachable, they have a similar vision, they're a good character, they'll be able to work with others, even when they do disagree. And also make sure they're competent. You know, that they can perform in the role that you're calling them to or that they're called to. So don't put the artistic person in charge of the accounting, you know, right. Unless you care more about, like, how the graphs and charts look. So we want to think about that. And finally, most importantly, of course, is that they seek God. You know, I think that it's easy to meet some of these other characteristics, and then you get to this point, and maybe somebody just doesn't seek God. You get a sense like they just don't pursue God, and that can be really important. That doesn't mean that, you know, if we're outsourcing our accounting or if we're outsourcing our lawn work to a company, we're not gonna say, "Do you seek God?"
Right.
But it means, you know, for people that are within the church, and this is important because they are under our care as leaders, and so we really want to make sure. So you may think, you know, how do we organize this? And this is a lot of stuff to keep up with for pastors, okay? But it's really important because this is where technology can help us. Because we have to know this stuff, and in the organizing phase, when we figure out our system, we have to have a way and a method of tracking these things and what their qualities are. We need to spend some time organizing this, because once we do that and we've done that work, then we're going to be able to much faster and more efficiently connect and communicate with them. And so in a demo here, let's just do a couple seconds here of a demo. Church software, Faith Life, is built on a social media platform. So they have about 6 million accounts now, I believe. And so think of Faith Life as a private Facebook for a church.
Oh, okay.
So you've got a community panel with a calendar, and you can build groups and teams, but all the tools tie together. And then I've got an admin panel here, so I click on my people records.
Are the accounts all or church organizations, or are they individual accounts too?
These would be individual people, yep. I mean, okay. You can set up other different groups, but let's say we've got, here's our people records, okay?
Okay.
So this would be what's considered like the church management software side, the people side of the program. And so once we've discovered who our leaders are, you know, we want to figure out and know where to track this stuff. So what I want to do, I'm going to show you a profile here. So let's look at Sean. So I'm going to click on Sean's profile. And in a person's profile, Faith Life gives you these containers for tracking things. So we've got all the contact information, but then they've got personal details, and we can set up tags. So like we can put in leaders if we have any other types of tags, and churches can customize this, you know, and figure out if we need to track different types of tags for whatever it is. I don't know if you're familiar with a tag is, but in a database, it's kind of like a flag, so I can quickly filter down to all my volunteers.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yep. But then there's also things like allergies, special needs, occupations. Faith Life allows a pastor to put private notes in.
Okay.
So you can make a note, and so a note like this, you know, met with Sean, shows potential for leadership. But only I can see it. But then we've got volunteer roles, skills, personality profile. And so what we're doing here is I want to track Sunday school teachers. So he's listed as a Sunday school teacher. So what this does for us, and I want to show how we kind of put this together here a little bit more, but like personality profiles.
Because you saw the call name in the past, and you went in and filled that out.
I went in and I filled it out.
5 months later, you go searching. Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So now, if I wanted to go back to my people records, so let's say I'm looking for my Sunday school teachers. If I go back to my people records here, all I need to do for the pastor or whoever's doing this, click on that little filter icon, scroll down to those volunteer roles, scroll down.
Okay.
Sunday school teacher, and then boom. There's all 10 Sunday school teachers in my database.
Oh, I see.
So a database helps the pastor organize this. Now, we're going to put this to use in a minute and do a lot more with it. But just so you see, we have containers for information. So you don't have to think about it in your brain. You don't need Excel spreadsheets. You don't need all the napkins and folders and files.
Uh-huh.
Because I could easily put all of my Sunday school teachers in a folder, but then again, we're going to take it to the next stage of engaging, communicating, work, and connecting and equipping.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
I see.
So we want to be able to speed that process up, and we want it to be scalable. So going back here, what we want, we're going to talk about training a little bit here. So once we've discovered who our leaders are, we've got our system of organizing them, and we want to train and empower them. So we're going to talk training for just a second. So while everybody is different, they're going to respond differently. There's some common denominators. And so we want to make sure our volunteers know the big picture. We talked about that a little bit. You know, if you tell your greeters, and I'm sure they do this here because they're a big church, but if you tell your greeters to say a certain thing when people come through the door, you know, explain how that greeting helps the church.
Sure.
Explain how that's going to help the church grow.
Yeah.
Second, make sure that your training lines up with what they're volunteering to do. You know, we don't want to be spending our time teaching somebody who's doing Meals on Wheels to read Greek. You know, it might be important. Maybe it's another time, but maybe a better use is, you know, train them on like questions to ask people that they're serving. You know, what are their needs? Where are they at in life? Consider also training core leaders on how to get into your church database. So like what I just did with putting notes in, they should be giving people in the church that are leading access to records so they could put their own private notes in.
Okay.
So they can see that. You know, and tracking these connections, interactions, how many hospital visits did you do? How many face-to-face meetings? So Faith Life can track, you know, your interactions as a pastor.
Mm.
You can also, churches I think should outsource some training and invest in the staff. I'm sure they do this here. Smaller churches, though, I think it's, you don't want to just throw money at this, but it's important. Like, I think it's a good idea to spend $300 to send your treasurer to a QuickBooks training session, like how to use QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the most frustrating things, I think, for volunteers is when a church asks them to serve but doesn't give them the tools mm-hmm. to do their job well, people get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get frustrated. So I think it's important that we do this. Now, when we talk about the empowering part of working with leaders and helping them, this helps them because it creates an open environment. It encourages them and it allows them to ask questions and voice ideas and struggles. So there's some ideas here when we're talking about empowering. We want to make sure that we're connecting with leaders routinely. You know, check in with them, see how they're doing. Train those under you. If you're in a larger church, you know, train those under you to do the same thing with other leaders that they are training, to go out and just check in with them. Encourage them, you know, thank them for their service. It's really easy, I think, for pastors, especially in smaller churches, you know, our volunteers, someone who does a fantastic job. Pastors are often spending so much time pouring water on the fires, you know, that we forget to water the flowers. And so, because we think they're flowers, they're doing great, they look great, they're pretty, but someday they'll come into church and they'll be wilted. Another thing, though, I think as you do this, and this is the hope, as you raise leaders up within the church and they start going out and raising other leaders, then, you know, let them be better than you at some things. And it's okay. You know, pastors should not do it all. They can't be all things to all people. Even if they are, I'm not going to say better, but maybe they get a better reaction in preaching. Mm-hmm. Maybe more mm-hmm. people laugh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can hurt a preacher, you know. Yeah. That can feel a little painful. But that's a good thing, you know. They should rejoice in that and be excited about it. So it's a picture of the body of Christ going or growing. So in the last two areas, though, when we talk about empowering, we're talking about connecting and engaging. So there was a day, I think, when for somebody to connect and engage, you had to be in person. And that day is no more. I think it's more important to be in person, but we can't skip over the fact that our society is a little different in the way it works now. So when it comes specifically to being engaging and connecting with your leaders, you want a way to accomplish this from anywhere. Okay? Not only with you and your leaders, but also your leadership together. So having like an online community, you know, how can our leaders connect? And so the reason for this is as you foster this idea, you want a system that's scalable. So leaders are going to raise other leaders. It's going to get, if you have five people go out and raise five more leaders, you've got more leaders, and you want something that's going to be scalable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to scale how we are empowering our leadership. Now, so in my last few minutes here, I just want to show you a couple things. Because now we've talked about, you know, how to organize leadership, what information to pull. We've talked about some of the key characteristics. So let's get them organized, and I'll show you how people can use technology and church staff can use technology for this. So let's say I wanted to create a community amongst my Sunday school teachers. Okay, so again, we're getting past the organizing in a sense, but now we're trying to say, how can they talk to each other? How can I reach out to them as the leader and empower them? Mm-hmm. So in faith life, because it's kind of set up like, again, kind of like a Facebook, I can create a team. So all I got to do, if you can see that, is I'm going to create a team. And then faith life gives me all these different teams. So I'm going to say, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to search for Sunday school. So faith life has all these different teams already pre-built. So I'm going to select Sunday school and I'm going to click add. Instantly, I now have a Sunday school team. So when I come over to my Sunday school team and I click on that, I now have a separate posting page and I can add people to my team. So if we go back to Sean, and go to Sean here and type in Sean's name. There's Sean. I'm going to add him to my team. So then I can go through and add my other Sunday school teacher. So there's a mobile app. They will be able to, you know,
he's not on that. Where does his name show up there?
Oh, it would come up here after I refresh the screen. It'd be two members.
Okay.
But now, as I add people, I could post to my Sunday school channel. So the other big thing, though, is that, again, I can engage them on this feed. So with Faith Life Equip, everybody in the church has access to Faith Life TV, and everybody in the church gets Logos Bible software. So Faith Life TV is kind of like Netflix for Bible study. So for a church, it's incredible because, I don't know, this church, did you guys have Right Now Media? Are you familiar with that or know Right Now Media?
I don't know if they do or not.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Similarly, this is more like Netflix for Bible study. So, you know, all the members of the church can come down here. They can go down to their, you have a church channel. They can go to the Logos Mobile Education videos here.
Is Right Now for Media a similar one to this?
Well, they do video content and discipleship resources, so okay. Churches subscribe to that. But the problem is that they don't... my internet just stalled on me here.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff for kids. Let's see if this loads up.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff for kids. So as a Sunday school teacher, I might want to say, let's pick the Jesus Storybook Bible, because they all have access to this.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could say, let's take that, copy that, come back over here to my Sunday school, and I just want to say something like, hey, y'all, check this out. And then I could share that resource with my Sunday school.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So I've fostered a community. I've engaged them. I can also buy resources from the Logos store. So I can buy a book. I did this the other day with a Sunday school teacher of mine. I bought a book on leading Sunday school and shared it with her.
An ebook?
An ebook.
Yeah. Yep.
And because she has Logos, she could open it up.
Okay. Yeah.
She can get the Faith Life ebook app and read through that. So they have all these great things. And we've got a message thread. You know, I can even create a calendar event just for the Sunday school team.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So now I can add an event and create an event just for my Sunday school team. So
or you could do the church's calendar on
I can.
Too, right?
Yep. I could do every group. So the church group,
sure.
Sunday school team, finance team, whatever it is. And so we've got this great technology, and I could even come back here. Let's say another big one. This is huge. We go back to our people records. I get this all the time. Pastors are like, how do I text my people? Like, how do I do a text blast? Because you don't want to do a text blast on your phone and add everybody and then send a text.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's our Sunday school teacher still. We filtered it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I can go ahead and I can create a communication. So I can just email or text right away.
Is that right? That's cool. Oh, that's great, man.
So I can filter out by anything and just send a text out. So it's
as long as their phone number is in there for their cell phones, it's just going to go right to it.
Well, if I create a communication,
yeah.
Faith Life actually, they're smart enough. They've got a button here. So there's our Sunday school teachers. It tells me how many emails, how many texts.
Okay.
And then I can send it as a preferred. So if this is a dummy account. I don't have
right.
the option here. But
sure.
I could choose text.
Yeah.
And it would send out text to everybody that prefers text and then emails to those who prefer emails.
Cool. Yeah.
So it just becomes a way of, you know, having all your data, tracking leadership,
sure.
engaging them and equipping them.
Yeah.
So thanks for your time, man. I mean, that's pretty much all I wanted to show
you. Thanks,
today.
John. I appreciate it. Are you being taped? Can I ask questions?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I still have on my list of things to do Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So I don't Facebook. I mean,
I don't either.
You don't either?
I don't. So Facebook is really good for, this is something I should do in our church, but I have limited time. And I got to think through it a lot. But Facebook is great for outreaching the,
mm-hmm.
you know,
okay,
the world. Faith Life, I could set up a Faith Life group like Facebook and make it a private group. And so it becomes a way of people, like in my activity feed here, like you could have church members posting prayer requests.
Oh, that's great.
Announcements. Pastors could post articles and blogs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's an internal network. I mean, you can make it public if you want, but I like the privacy of it. And
so
they're not selling your information like Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the problem with Facebook. But go ahead.
No, that's good. Yeah, sorry. No, it's... that's not for in yourself. So individuals like I could go sign up Steve Witter and make an account, I guess, right?
Uh-huh.
What does that cost? And then does let's say we're at Shepherd's right now. So Shepherd's has an account, and somehow I link to that. I guess the churches have an account. Like you got John's church right there.
So the church would have an account with Faith Life. And Faith Life, the Faith Life group thing, the feature is free. Like what you're seeing here with this posting, it's like Facebook. It's free in that sense.
Okay.
But once you get into like the admin panel and you want to track member records and do financial giving and online giving and a website, I can manage our website from here as well.
Oh, manage the website from
here. Okay, so I can manage our mobile app right here.
Oh, cool.
So the way a church would invite you, basically, when you go back to...
All the different tech things or many of the tech things.
So I would just click invite and I would import a list of email addresses and I would invite them and I can invite them as followers, members, moderators, or admins of our group. Mm-hmm. So if I invite them as members, the way I have it set up in my church, they're automatically assigned the Logos license and they're automatically assigned Faith Life TV.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you know, every member of the church would get access to this, I'll show you here real quick. Let me find it. I gotta
read these better. Can I talk while you're doing it?
Yep, go right ahead.
So when you say the Logos license, that's not the same Logos that Greg is pushing, the different flavors, the gold, platinum, silver.
Right, yeah. It's the same program. Same program. Logos.
So where do you come in at? A bronze?
It's probably a little bit below. I'm not sure. It might be a little bit below that, but here's what they get.
You have the basic program in that? Really?
So everybody in the church that joins your Faith Life group gets a library value of about $3,500. And so it's about 260 resources. And
wow, really?
They've got some limited, you know, they don't have the preaching and ministry, theological study. So it's a limited version.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
It's still, you know, the basic feature
set. Wow, that's nice.
And so everybody in the church gets that. And then the pastor is going to get the Pastoral Premier Edition.
Oh.
And this does have the sermon builder. So I use Logos to, I send my slides to Proclaim. It's an all-in-one integrated system.
Oh, you mean the slides within Logos, so you're building a sermon or something.
Exactly.
That was PowerPoint. But I mean,
no,
I don't know what Proclaim is. But
Proclaim is presentation software. So some churches
use, I've heard that. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
PowerPoint.
Right. Yeah.
But I build my sermon in Logos, and then it'll send it straight to Proclaim.
Oh, will.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then Proclaim will record my sermon and all my slides, like this. It has little recording cues.
Okay.
It'll record all that, and then it'll send it to my website, to the member mobile app, to the news feed, to Faith Life TV, all in one shot. It takes 2 minutes.
That's amazing. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Yeah, that's right. So it doesn't do me any good to go to that right now because I'm not linking with a church group on there, right?
Yeah.
To go to Faith Life.
You can get a Faith Life account for free. Just go to faithlife.com.
Yeah.
You can build groups. So if you're like fostering a community within your own church and, you know, think of it like Facebook, essentially.
Okay, sure.
What was I going to say here? But yeah, you can get a Faith Life account for free, but when a church wants to take all those things and plug them in together, it's quite an amazing
feature. It must be,
feature.
Man. So Proclaim, can you really quickly then?
Yeah.
So Logos, I know what Logos
yeah.
is. Oh, you know, in that screen you just saw, sorry about that. Those are all platform or planks in the platform, right?
Right, yes.
What does it mean, sermons?
So sermons, like if I go to, I'll use my church as an example here. Because I'm on Faith Life Equip, my church is on Equip. I've got a Faith Life website.
Where is your church up there in PA?
Right in between Williamsport and State College. So Central Pennsylvania.
Central PA?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know Pennsylvania that well. I mean, years ago, ancestors, parents, you know, grandparents lived there. And my mom and dad did too, but so family lives near York. Is York Central?
Yeah, that's probably a little bit more central east because that's just outside
yeah,
of
more
Philly,
east
basically.
Yeah.
My Wi-Fi was too far away here. But here's our website. So Proclaim will record my sermon. It'll take all the slides and then it posts it instantly to our website. There's a little sermon widget I can add.
Okay.
So a church, you know, if you're a church of 300 or less, having this is an amazing thing because you're so short-staffed.
Right.
So the sermons. When I publish it, the Faith Life, it goes to sermons.faithlife.com as well. So when I click on that, here I've got my sermon transcription.
Oh, I see. Cool.
And then I can click anywhere.
And put on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
And then it'll capture all my
stuff. And ask shoes for your feet.
It just puts it all together.
Yep. And it intelligently figures out like all these scripture references from the slides. So
it
kind of includes some metadata. There's a lot of other things you can do here, but you know, you can watch it on Roku or Apple TV.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2021 Shepherds 360 International Church Leaders Conference. This material is copyrighted and may not be altered or sold. For information, visit shepherds360.org.